You're listening to Consider This, episode 12, for September 5th, 2012.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, this is that 10-minute or less podcast that you've come to know and love. Consider This. I'm your lovable host, Doug Payton, and I've lovingly crafted a couple of stories for you to consider. Yeah, only two this time. I got a little wordy, but we'll still be out of here in my self-imposed time limit. The only thing you'll miss is one bit of my transition music, which I'm sure nobody would actually miss unless I brought it up. Don't forget to come down to the webpage for show notes, links to articles that I use for information, and ways to leave a comment or send an email. I definitely want to include you in on this, and that's the way to do it. I'm at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. That's CT, as in creating thruples. Oh yeah, I'll explain that later in the show. And in addition to being in the ubiquitous iTunes store, I'm on the Blueberry Network. That's Blueberry without the E's. If you go to my website and click on the Blueberry, you'll be directed to a page where you can listen to the latest episode. But more importantly, you can add it to your MyCast list. If you create a user with Blueberry, you can then add any of their over 12,000 audio and video podcasts to your list. When you've listened or watched the latest episodes, you can come back to your personal MyCast page later on and keep up with any new episodes that have come out. So if you don't do iTunes or have an MP3 player, this is a great alternative. And now, off we go. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is another international treaty to come out of that august body, that while it is ostensibly one with good intentions, it allows the UN to override national sovereignty. This is not a statement of ideals composed by the UN. It is a treaty that we would be bound by. Now, some, like Senator John Kerry and Senator Jay Rockefeller, have said that ratifying this treaty would not change existing U.S. law. However, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association chairman, Michael Ferris, has written, in a response to Senator Rockefeller, that yes, it does change existing law. Ferris gives this example.
Article 7, Section 2 of the treaty requires that states ensure that, quote, in all actions concerning children with disabilities, the best interests of the child shall be a primary consideration, quote. The best interest of the child standard is one used in American family law. Under current law, however, only if a family is broken by a divorce or if a parent is convicted of neglect or abuse can the government substitute its view of what is best for the child for that of the parents.
This one change in emphasis could have far-reaching implications, and is why the Homeschool Legal Defense Association is involved with this. The choice of schooling for a disabled child would be determined not by the parents, but by a committee chosen by the UN. There are other issues, like new abortion rights, granted not by the states, but by an international body. It's a lot more than I can get into here, so I would suggest going to the show notes for links to the HSLDA response to Senator Rockefeller, as well as their site with videos of testimony to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. They're short, and I've looked at a few of them, and I think it's certainly worth your time to find out what our government is getting us into. Now, elect whatever president you want, but if an international treaty becomes the law of the land over very personal matters, well then, your choice may not really matter much at all.
You're listening to Consider This from ctpodcasting.com.
Flashback to 2004 with me, when there was still a show on CNN called Crossfire, and when the president of the Human Right Campaign, which advocates for, among other things, same-sex marriage, was still Cheryl Jacques.
Pro-family supporters fear legalizing same-sex marriage will open doors for polygamy to continue breaking down the sanctity of marriage. The issue of polygamy, presented by many pro-family groups, is showing itself more and more as a dead end for pro-gay activists in their push for homosexual marriage to be legalized. Tucker Carlson, host of CNN's Crossfire, debated with Human Rights Campaign President Cheryl Jacques on the polygamy issue. Carlson asked her why shouldn't polygamists be able to marry, and all she could say was, "I don't approve of that."
When conservatives say that about same-sex marriage, they don't approve of that. They're called puritanical or shoving their views down others' throats, etc., whatever. But it was all the willfully ignorant Jacques could come up with at the time. She couldn't fathom the idea that by changing the definition of marriage once, others would take that and run with it for other definitions. Willfully ignorant, and now we have this. Three Brazilians have been married in a ceremony that has their nation up in arms over whether their relationship, now enshrined in a three-way marriage, is legal. The public notary who conducted their marriage says there's no reason that the throuple, as it's being called, as opposed to couple, shouldn't enjoy the same kinds of rights imparted upon two people. And the opinion piece in The Guardian, just this past August, that highlighted this, made the same case.
This is not about the advocacy of patriarchal polygamy that regards wives as unequal to or property of their husbands, but if 3 or 4 or 17 people want to marry each other simultaneously and equally, why should they not be granted the same status as 2 people who want to become a legal family?
There's a link in the show notes where I've written about this on my personal blog over the past 8 years. It shows how we've gone from same-sex marriage advocates who don't approve of polygamy, to legal challenges to the two-person marriage, to popular opinion shifting towards it. Hey, in the Netherlands, they've been granting civil unions to groups of 3 or more since 2005. It's here, whether you approve of it or not. Now, I know slippery slope arguments can be, well, slippery. They involve a bit of prediction. If A happens, B will happen next. It's easy to dismiss these sort of arguments as just guesses. However, when initial predictions become true, and when you have so much history to look at and see that it has been indeed happening, well, it's time to take the arguments a bit more seriously. Well, now it's past time, frankly. Look, when the best counter-argument you have to say that there isn't a slippery slope is that you don't approve of said slippage, or you have to resort to name-calling, I would suggest that you need to re-examine your position. You may not approve of the next steps, but there are people waiting in the wings ready to pick up the fight after you can no longer stomach it. And given the kind of treatment people get for not approving of same-sex marriage, I predict with a high degree of certainty that the same sort of treatment awaits anyone who doesn't approve of polygamy. Who are we to judge, will come the refrain once again. If marriage doesn't mean anything specifically, then it means nothing. And we aren't nearly at the end of that slope yet. Well, that's it for this time. What do you think about UN treaties, or thruples, or quaddles, or quintals, or whatever silly name you can come up with? Let me know by writing to ConsiderThis@ctpodcasting.com or stopping by the website at ConsiderThis.ctpodcasting.com. If you prefer Facebook, Google Plus, or Twitter, stop by there to like me or circle me or tweet me. Thanks for stopping by, and let me know what you think so that we can all consider this.